by giving him his due. Again, and how do you honor the governors? Do you honor, you know, like it says, now, say, Caesar demands to be honored by you burning incense to Jupiter. You can't honor him that way. You only give him what is due in God and what is right. You know, give them their due.
What they've got coming.
You know, you don't have to give them, you don't have to fawn over them. Don't be a respecter of persons either. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Froward means, like, we have toward and froward. Froward is like, it means warped, you know, to and fro. Fro is the warped and weft, you know, the not good. You know? And very simply, servants is slaves. Well, actually, this is oiktes, a household servant, but, you know, it can also mean slaves. As Paul taught, and I've covered in all his epistles, you know, in the New Testament, they're not speaking for making laws for America. What they're talking about is godliness. And I'll tell you what, as a servant, now, you know, I'm not condoning whatever happened in this country or any of that, you know, and the wickedness of it, or of what the bad masters do. I'm not condoning it, but what I'm saying in Christ, look, I'm planning my life to be subjected to being put to death unjustly. That's like the goal of my life. I want to be put to death for the gospel's sake, not for evil, but for good. Okay? So being a servant to someone. See, man, the wisdom of man says, well, you got to stand up for your rights. You got to be free. You want to live your own life. You want to do your own thing. You got to have your own, you know, you got to be your own man. You know, it's like not right for them to hold you in servitude. It's not right. It's, you know, and you know what? I desire the freedom of all men. I do. Okay? It's not that. You know, and we speak. I remember the abolitionist movement was a Christian movement. And I deplore human bondage. In the book of Revelation, it says, those who enslave men, you know, the book of Revelation, but in the writings of Paul, enslavers. You know, people who enslave, it's wickedness. And anyone who would deal with their slaves unjustly, wicked, you know. But the point is, we suffer all kinds of things in this earth unjustly. That's part of being a Christian. Being in that condition is like an opportunity for righteousness on your part. So don't look at it as being like this. That's the, you know, what he's saying is you need to be mindful. It's like we have a heavenly calling, not an earthly calling. Seek first the kingdom of God. God knows he's looking after you. Remember, Joseph was a slave, and God raised him out of slavery. And his brothers sold him into slavery, and God raised him to be ruler over all the land of Egypt. But first he had to be slave. And so, we also need to endure whatever God puts us through. Whatever condition we find ourselves in, we endure it with patience. The patience may have its perfect work, which will make us perfect, entire, and wanting nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the truth. I could preach something. I could be apologetic about the Bible or apologetic about American history. I'm not going to apologize for the wickedness done in this country. Most of my ancestors weren't even here. And the ones that were lived way up north. But still, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to excuse it either, God forbid. You know, the wickedness of the past. But I don't want you to focus on that. You don't want to focus on that aspect. You got to focus on denying yourself. Denying your fleshly desires. My flesh wants to be free. My flesh wants to be its own man. My flesh, I want to rule my own life. You know, Jesus said to Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, someone's going to lead you to go where you don't want to go. You were born free, but you're going to die in chains. So, honor the king, fear God, love the brotherhood. Beautiful, beautiful. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. See, this is thankworthy. Actually, that means grace. Actually, this word is charis. Grace. This is grace. A man for conscience toward God enduring grief and suffering wrongfully. That you are, what is conscience? Sunesis. It means co-perception. Because of your mindfulness, your perception towards God, you endure. You bear it under a cruel master sometimes, or imprisonments, or, you know, as all the things that, think of all the things the apostles suffered, the prophets suffered, all the things they endured. They lived in caves. They were sawn in sunder. I mean, all these things that men of God had endured in the past, and I am set for the gospel to endure these things yet in the future. No double-mindedness about it. It is even my prayer. But we've got to be prepared for it. Or I hope to be prepared for it. And I was raised in a soft and comfortable life. Really, really, really. And I see that the end is going to be not so comfortable. But glorious. Thankfully, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it? Verse 20, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. What glory is that? Oh, I'm patiently taking buffeting for my faults. I sinned and God is punishing me. Or I sinned and I'm patiently paying the ticket. I'm patiently taking the buffet because of God. There's no glory in that. But if when you do well and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. We want works that are acceptable with God. We want to do things that God accepts. This is acceptable to God. That we should be punished for doing good. Does that make any sense? To man, it shouldn't make any sense, really. Now, my mind immediately starts making sense, and I think, of course it makes sense, Paul. But I got to remember, I have the mind of Christ. And I remember I've said these things to people, relatives and so on, and they've been like, listen to what Uncle Paul wants to have the end of his life be.